The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes Show.
I'm the announcer, and I've known Eric since he was a big nobody.
In fact, I'm one of the people he stepped on as he climbed the ladder of success.
And now my former friend, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. My goodness, what a show we have today. I'm a little nervous. In a couple of moments, I'm going to talk to Lou Dobbs. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
He's a young kid, and we want to give him his big break on this program. I think sometimes, you know, I want to give back. I want to choose some young person of promise and give them their big break. And you know, it's just what I do. So we're going to have Lou Dobbs talking about releasing the Kraken and Sidney Powell and everything else in a couple of minutes on this program. So don't miss Lou Dobbs. After that, I will have a conversation with Charlie Kirk. I think we're going to get some good time with Charlie today to get into the election. Couple of things I have to announce, very important. First of all, we got a million emails to my website, ericmetaxas.com, asking where is the letter, where's the sample letter and the names of the legislative leaders in these five states. I posted it on my Facebook page and we sent it out to my newsletter list. So if you're not on the newsletter list, you didn't get it. So you have to go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for the newsletter. And tomorrow, we're going to give you time. You sign up for the newsletter. And tomorrow we'll send out another newsletter with all that information so that you can do that. Many people have done that. I think it is very, very important. Speaking of important, many, many people are praying. Last night I was on another one of these prayer meetings for global integrity. It's a Facebook Live thing. Thousands of people were on. I've just got to say, it's amazing. There are people around the world on this call. We had somebody in England yesterday. We had somebody in Africa yesterday. There are people all around the world participating, and they say that people in their nation are fasting and praying for the outcome of this election. This has become an international, global prayer meeting. That's just the one that I've been on. It's every other day or every
third
day.
It should. It should, because the American election is going to affect the entire globe. So it should be internationally.
Well, that's right. And anybody who thinks this has been decided, folks, I promise you, you talk about this not being over. I still maintain that the people that I spoke with who know said that without question, Trump won. Now, the larger question is, can we prove that he won? Can we win this battle? The main thing I would say is to pray and to fast and pray. So part of what's happening is a lot of people are getting serious about prayer, and they're understanding that you can wage war on your knees talking to God. That's a part of it. He hears our prayers. That's something that
I say this? I am hoping that the Great Awakening is going to change into the Great Awakening from all this.
I like that, Alvin. And Alvin, you were saying to me earlier that you think that it's not over yet. Will it be over?
Well, the Democrats think it's not over until the fat lady votes 10,000 times.
You know what? I think Yogi Berra said the same thing.
Oh, yeah. That actually reminds me of the old stovetop stuffing commercial. You know, hey, what's your mom making for dinner? Stovetop stuffing. Well, this Thanksgiving, it's going to be ballot stuffing for dinner. My mom is making ballot stuffing.
Ballot stuffing.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Honestly, we're going through some weird times as a nation. And I want to encourage people. I know enough, I've seen enough and read enough to be convinced that not only did Trump actually win, but that by the grace of God, we're going to root out the corruption. You know, there is nothing more despicable than trying to steal an election, trying to degrade the idea of self-government by messing around in that way. I mean, it ought to offend everyone. Anybody ought to be offended at any instance of it, much less widespread instance of it, much less political elders, whether it's the Obama Chicago Democratic machine or the Clinton machine, anybody participating in anything like this, it ought to offend every American. And if you're too cynical to be offended by that, then you yourself are part of the corruption already. And I want to say, repent, folks. This country was founded by men of dignity and honor who understood that without a virtuous citizenry, we could not have freedom. And when you have leaders doing these kinds of things, even the possibility of it ought to get people angry and taking action, and at the very least, praying.
Yeah. If Joe Biden takes over in January, he will be the president of a third world country, basically.
That's really what KT McFarland said on this program yesterday, that, you know, once you allow that, this is no longer America. And so it really is something that I think we have to take very seriously.
But it will be Barack Obama's promise for America, which is what he said. I want to fundamentally transform America. This will be his America.
Yeah, this will be that America, which is not America. Anyway, I want to remind you folks, Lou Dobbs coming up on this program. Great honor to speak with him. Charlie Kirk coming up after that. I want to remind you also, please follow us on our YouTube channel, The Eric Metaxas Show. We have 155,000 people subscribing. That is up very dramatically in the last couple of weeks. We're posting some great stuff there. Please subscribe there, number one. Number two, please follow me on social media. A lot of people are following me on Parler now. Twitter today, for the first time, never happened before. Refused to allow me to post something. I tried and tried and tried, and I basically discovered that they would not allow me to post a certain article. I tried to post it on Facebook. They let me post it, but they had a huge disclaimer, false information. And I thought, there is a part of the story that might be false, but most of the story is true. But there's a part of the story that they just said, well, because of that, we will not let you post it at all on Twitter. So, of course, I posted it on Parler and on Facebook, and Facebook has a huge disclaimer. We're living in weird times.
Yeah.
And I want to say to people, this is very important. I hope that you're encouraged to fight. I hope you're patient and understand we need to persevere in doing what we're doing.
Can I just reiterate, make sure you go to our YouTube channel, because we post not only guests from this show, but other shows that are relevant to what's going on. In the last month alone, just this month, just the 20 or so days of this month, we have added 50,000 new subscribers. I'm looking at my totals here, 50,000. So be one of them, be in the next 50,000.
That is amazing. Honestly, it's amazing. Sign up for my newsletter. We need to find ways to get information out. And this, you know, the Dick Morris, the letter and all that stuff. Unless you're subscribed to my newsletter at ericmetaxas.com, it's been really tough to get that information out. So please subscribe to that. I also should say that Mike Lindell, anytime you patronize our friend Mike Lindell at mypillow.com, be sure to use the code ERIC. Very important, folks. Christmas is coming up. And also mystore.com, which is connected to mypillow.com. My Uncle Muggsy books, my Caveman books, all are going to be available there any day now at amazing prices, folks. Seriously, amazing prices at mystore.com. And we want to tell you, if you want mugs, t-shirts, hats from the Eric Metaxas Show, you have to go to the Metaxas.
Shopmetaxas.com. Shopmetaxas.com.
That's our radio store, shopmetaxas.com. It's getting complicated. And if you want signed books, go to SocratesInTheCity.com. I think we may have covered everything. Isn't that wonderful? Great. Folks, I cannot believe I'm going to get to talk to Lou Dobbs in a couple of seconds. He is a big deal. He's a hero. And I'm going to embarrass him on the air by telling him so to his face. Stick around. They gotta have him in Tucson, 'cause everyone's a millionaire. I'm a winner, I'm a sinner. Do you want my autograph? Hey there, folks. Being a, you know, sort of a legend in the industry, I said sometimes I want to give back. There's a new generation coming up, people maybe you haven't heard of, and I want to sow into that generation. The other day, I saw an interview by Lewis Dobbs, I believe is his name, with Sidney Powell. I put it on my YouTube page and it blew up. And so probably I can take credit for the career that Lou Dobbs has in the future. But you know what? When you get as big as I am at this point, you want to give back. And so that's what I'm doing right now. Is it Lewis or is it Lou?
You can call me Lou. Eric,
I can call you Lou. Well, then, Lou Dobbs, welcome to television. I love what you did with Sidney Powell the other day, and I will stop joking eventually. Your interview with Sidney Powell, but much more importantly, much more broadly, your heroic voice at this time has meant so much to so many. I don't want to put that much pressure on you, but I think you're aware more than most of where we are in history at this time. So first of all, before we talk about what you're thinking, I just want to say thank you from those of us who've been encouraged and heartened by your stand for this president and for self-government. Thank you. I didn't want to embarrass you. I just wanted to make you laugh. But I guess you've been doing some interviews that have been, unfortunately, important because not many other people have been interviewing people like Sidney Powell. So can you talk about where you think we are? Those of us who saw her, we've had her on this program, but when we saw the release, the Kraken video, and so on and so forth, I thought, this is a new day. Thank God for Lou Dobbs being willing to put this heroic woman on his program. What do you think of where we are right now?
I think we're at a historic moment, obviously, in the history of this republic. It is, I think most people understand that too, Eric. This is not just a nickel dime fraud in a couple of precincts in Cook County. This is a nationwide assault on our electoral system, its integrity, and the fact that the national left-wing media, the corporatist media, are doing their very best to either diminish the moment or to ignore it altogether. Is speaking very loudly to all Americans about just how serious this is. When we are looking at software that is not operating as it is designed to do, as most of us would assume it's designed to do, when we're looking at a piece of software that was used to manipulate elections in Venezuela, when we're looking at election companies, no one seems to know who owns them, and they don't have any requirements for public disclosure. Only the state of Texas, Eric, only the state of Texas refused to license Dominion software. And they did so with such emphatic protection of the Texas electoral system. They're true heroes because they stood up against this. Now, there's
so many levels to this, Lou. That's what's, I think, difficult for people. I mean, on the one hand, Rudy Giuliani, I think yesterday on Newsmax or something, I had kind of went down the list of, you know, we have this kind of issue going on in Nevada and this issue going into Georgia, whatever. And it's significant and probably ultimately dispositive, but it is not at the level of what Sidney Powell was outlining on your program the other day, and knowing Trump to be the genius that he is, I wonder whether he's kind of hanging back with that and letting people sweat. But what is your sense of how it's possible to put forth the information that Sidney and others have collected? Where do you suppose that is? Because folks like Rudy Giuliani really don't even mention that or go near that. I don't know if that's right. A different silo and they're not working in that. What is your sense of that piece of it?
It's a different part of the, just a part of the investigation. At this point, we have mail-in ballots, which are obviously, we've seen a fraudulent count in a number of jurisdictions. That's clear. It is, as you say, dispositive. That's where we are. In terms of software and the operating systems that make up Dominion and two other voting companies in this country who have the majority of the market, what's the vast majority, 90% of the market, that is, there's a coalition. We're told, I have it on very good authority, that the FBI is investigating. But aside from that, there are coalitions of private citizens and organizations who are trying to get to the bottom of what has happened. You will recall five states, their counting stopped at just about the same precise moment in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Why did that happen? Contemporaneously, simultaneously. What happened during that period? Well, we know one thing, that Donald Trump was running ahead in the system. His votes, he had a significant lead. And when we emerged from that period in which they were offline, suddenly Biden had a lead. And there's no basis for it. There was no counting going on. There were no ballots to be run. Yet, suddenly, as many as 128,000 in one instance, 130-some-odd thousand in another, all of those batches were all Biden votes. And no one can tell us where they came from.
Are you startled, Lou, to be one of the very few voices holding out hope and more than hope that Trump would be reelected? I am surprised, honestly, that so few have been willing to go out on the limb that you've been willing to go out on.
I guess I'm not surprised because I've been alone in a few fights in my career. And I'm not uncomfortable with that. But what is troubling to me is that this is, I believe, has devolved to what it clearly is. It's a fight between good and evil. This is a country right now that is in the grip of an apathy that would accept consequences that they don't comprehend. They don't understand the cause. We have a fierce demand on the part of the left for conformity and silence. And if that is not resisted, we lose the republic. And that's what this election, in my opinion, is all about.
That is precisely my take. And it's one of these things I keep saying, I wish I were wrong. How I wish I were wrong. I gave a speech last weekend and I said to those of you who were never Trumpers, there may have been a few in the room. I said, how many Supreme Court justices did Trump appoint? Does anybody know that number? You know, obviously everyone knew it was three. I was being sarcastic, but I thought, can we conceive what it would have meant if Hillary Clinton had appointed three Supreme Court justices? That is why 2016 would have been the end of the republic. But you've been a stalwart in this, and I'm glad to know that there are a few of us out there. Sidney Powell, when she spoke on your program, it's because of who she is that her voice means so much when she says things like that. I mean, I've known her, and I assume you've known her for a longer time. But was it not startling to you for her to speak as dramatically as she did?
As you say, I've known Sidney a long time. She is one of the brightest appellate, if not the brightest appellate attorneys in the country. She is a remarkable warrior for this republic. She stands up. She speaks forthrightly. She's defending General Michael Flynn against what has been a four-year persecution by the deep state and the radical Dem Party. And make no mistake, this is a persecution plotted, engineered. The incipient point is the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, without question. So, no, I'm not surprised whenever she stands up, and I'm never surprised when she does so against all odds. And right now, she is one of the few in our courts who stands between us and a great wound in our republic.
But before I go on, I should ask you: do you have five more minutes, or are we going to have to go?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let me ask you. This will be good for you. This will make your career. Believe me, your numbers are going to blow up after this interview.
Right.
Let me just ask you, you have a new book out, or you have a book out called The Trump Century. You seem to understand what this president means to this time in history. And when we come back, I want to ask you about that, because I think understanding the stakes focuses people. And the reason many people have not been focused or have not been heroic is because they simply haven't understood the stakes. We'll be right back with Lou Dobbs. Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric. Okay. Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Folks, I'm talking to Lou Dobbs. Perhaps you've heard of him. I got a little confused. Actually, he's the legend, and I'm the newbie. I always get little things like that mixed up, so don't pay any attention to it. Lou, your interviews with Sidney Powell recently have been very encouraging to people. Anybody who knows who she is doesn't take what she says lightly. She does not blow smoke. So you, in your book, The Trump Century, you know, you talk about why he is such, why he is himself so unprecedented. And I think being a man of faith, you probably suspect that God raises people up for such a time as this. It doesn't really make sense that Churchill happened to lead Great Britain and the West when he did, or that Trump would suddenly arise right now. We don't deserve Donald Trump. And yet, by God's grace, I would say we have him. Do you think with everything ahead of us that he will be able to complete a second term or start a second term?
And, you know, we have, we have a long road between here and there, but I truly believe that he will. I don't believe this country will settle for a coup against the President of the United States, because this has been a trail of travesty and tribulation for the country and for him from the moment he threw his hat into the ring in 2015 through 2016, when the government, the deep state, the permanent bureaucracy, and the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton and the DNC conspired to block his candidacy and to block him from the presidency. They failed, obviously. Then they began another 11-month investigation by the FBI. Then the special counsel investigation, all without basis, without any evidence whatsoever. Then they moved it into, for crying out loud, an impeachment of the President of the United States, as he says, over a telephone call. Are you kidding? And the national left-wing media followed like guppies rising to the surface at feeding time. They behave as they always do, day in and day out, as pink little lapdogs, not watchdogs. They're a fifth column, not the fourth estate. And they conspired with the left to bring down this president. And they couldn't find a single bit of evidence. I mean, at least there should have been a parking fine warrant somewhere. They couldn't find it. And in 4 years, and this is just the continuation of his, what has been an effort to overthrow his presidency and to stop Donald J. Trump, period.
I see what is happening now genuinely as God's mercy to this nation. It's a wake-up call without which we would continue to sleep. The very idea that Biden's campaign could invest a couple of $100 in a graphic designer to put up a sign that says "Office of the President Elect," knowing that that will fool some people into just going mm-hmm. along with it. I'm really sorry to see that Fox Corporate seems to have gone along with this. Generally, you're a big name over there. I don't know if I assume you can't speak to that issue.
Well, I can speak to this issue. I'm responsible for a one-hour show that we put on Monday through Friday. I can tell you I have never had interference from this network, and any of its managers as to what I report on this election. And I think that is remarkable. So, you know, that's where I am.
Look, that's all we need to hear, because I'm just, you know, with Judge Pirro being pushed off of her show that day mm-hmm. and a number of other things, there are voices on Fox that have been sneering about the idea of the Dominion voter mm-hmm. business. And it is disheartening to see folks on Fox. I haven't seen them on Fox Business. Actually, I have. I'm sorry. Sneering in the way that you could expect people on CNN to sneer. So there are a number of folks like you.
Well, you know, when people sneer at us, that tells you something right away. That tells you that they are less than polite. They think they're superior to us. They think, and the first test for any American is, do you believe that each of us has equal rights as an American citizen and is deserving of equal respect? And the answer is absolutely, because it's enshrined in the Constitution. And that Constitution was God sent. It's that straightforward. It is exactly why we have to fight this fight with every ounce of energy and courage we can muster. Because it's a fight we cannot afford to lose. As you said, like most sinners, we don't deserve to win, but that isn't the reason. That isn't the reason we win.
I know that the reason America is great is because we have been a nation of nations. We have existed for others. The torch of liberty is extended to the whole world, and we really have been that on many levels. We've spread the ideas of American-style self-government and a virtuous free market around the world, and we want to continue to be able to do that. Unless we're strong, we won't be able to.
If I may say, Eric, we must first look to ourselves. We're a nation. We've lost 70,000 babies in this country to abortion since Roe v. Wade. We are a nation that talks about the family, but we don't always support the family, Republicans or Democrats. We have to begin to say to ourselves, do I mean what I'm saying? And will I stand up for what I mean? And this is the time to do so, I assure you.
Lou Dobbs, great to have you with us. Our privilege. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Always good to see you. Thank you.
Yesterday, I was up before the dawn, and I really have enjoyed my stay.
Folks, this is a program where I like to be eclectic, and so we just went from talking to Lou Dobbs, who's a brand new kid coming up in the business, and I said, you know, for a little chiaroscuro, a little variety, I'd like to talk to somebody who's a legend in this business, to the point that he's a doddering old man, but I have an affection for him. Charlie Kirk, welcome to the program. Or is it, am I on your program or are you on my program?
I can't quite figure it out, but I dressed up just for you, Eric. I wore my favorite t-shirt. It's not called Golden Boy. And here we are.
I love the fact that a young man like you would be incredibly aware of Seinfeld and make that reference. I know that you know more actual trivia about Seinfeld than I do, but I trump you on four Seinfeld levels. We cannot discuss this right now. We've got to stick to politics because we're losing people. Charlie, you have been right next to the president in the middle of what is obviously history. We're experiencing history right now. I wish it weren't so, and yet it is so. Millions are praying. Millions from around the world are praying for this election, which is obviously not yet settled. What do you see happening right now that people like me might be unaware of? What are you, being where you are and being close to the center, what do you see cooking?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt that this election, I don't use this word lightly, was stolen. President Donald Trump outperformed every part of the country that was not a focal point for Joe Biden to get enough votes electorally through the Electoral College to get over the top. Some great examples, Eric, and we have this incredible whiteboard here where we've been going through all of this. I mean, President Donald Trump outperformed Obama. He outperformed Mitt Romney, John McCain, and even his own numbers in 2016 dramatically. Miami-Dade County, President Donald Trump overperformed by 15 points versus 2016, versus his own numbers. President Trump did better in Chicago. He did better in Washington, D.C. He did just about as well in L.A. and Boston. He did better in New York City, Eric. He did better by about 5 or 6 points in New York City. Wow. There were congressional candidates that were supposed to lose in New York, Claudia Tenney, for example, or Nicole Malliotakis. And they're doing phenomenal. They haven't certified the election results because New York has this month-long election window where you could still try and find as many ballots as you probably need. California's done the same thing, but they're going to win. I think Nicole actually was determined to be the winner. President Trump won Long Island. He won Sussex County. He won Suffolk County, I should say, and Sussex County. He won huge parts of the suburbs around New York. He won the suburbs in New Jersey. What's the significance of this is that there probably wasn't a huge focus for absentee ballot, funny business, voter registration irregularities, absentee ballot fraud, voting tabulation, Dominion voting systems irregularities. And my best example for all of this, Eric, and this is just the most logical way that I could show it, is I'm from the Midwest. I know Madison, Wisconsin really well. I've been there probably 100 times. And Madison, Wisconsin, of course, is where the University of Wisconsin-Madison is. And so in 2008, at the height of the Obama movement, President Barack Obama got 71% of the support in Dane County, Wisconsin. Joe Biden got 76% this time and 60,000 more votes. And the campus is closed, Eric. How is that possible? The campus
is closed. Charlie, this is what's so tricky here. And this is why, the folks on the other side of this, they're not stupid. They're very clever. They're just not clever enough, but they're very clever. And they have they've kind of rolled out this plan to win this election by any means necessary. But now that we have time to look at how they did it and how they didn't do it, some of the things that you said come into play in what I'm thinking. It's really fascinating. I mean, what you're the larger point you're making, which maybe people listening aren't aware of, is just the idea that anyone would outperform Barack Obama. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing because everybody knows that his candidacy was historic. People came out like they'd never come out forever. The idea that they would do that for doddering Joe, for one of the lamest candidates we've ever seen. I actually think he made Hillary Clinton look like a good candidate. And I'm not being sarcastic. I actually think that I've never seen anything like him. So the idea that people were pumped to vote for him is laughable. Now, you could say that, well, they weren't voting for him. They were voting against Trump. Okay, that will account for some of it because some people hate Trump that much, but it still can't account for these numbers. When you just talked about New York, the reason Trump did so well in New York compared to the past or compared to what anybody would have expected is obvious. It's because people who wanted to win this election knew not to focus on New York. They knew New York's going to go blue. We don't need to worry about it. We only need to worry about the swing states. So it gives us, you know, a way to see the difference between these states and these states, between these states and these states. And so you've just made the point. I mean, the idea that New York City, of all places, who hates Trump more than New York City? And yet Trump got 5 to 6% more this time. I didn't know that. It's why I love to talk to you. I keep learning stuff. I guess the question a lot of folks have, Charlie, is where do you see this going? Because a lot of people are tuned out or let me put it this way. They're afraid to hope. They're afraid because they don't want to be crushed. So they're just trying to steel themselves that everybody says Biden got elected, get over it. And I don't want to be too hopeful. I personally know that we have to fight to the death because to allow an election to be stolen in the United States of America is evil. We cannot let that happen. But I don't know. Was there a question in there someplace?
Well, I mean, hope is a tricky thing because as soon as you begin to have hope, you also then open yourself up to the possibility of being crushed. And those of us that have been through failing elections are kind of, I get a lot of emails from people saying, Charlie, am I allowed to have a little bit of hope right now? Because I just kind of began to get over this a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And so look, here's where we are right now. The question is, did the Democrats commit a perfect crime? And we don't know yet. These are my guess is no. My guess is that, and here's why. And I can kind of take you through this.
Actually, I want you to take me through it. We've got plenty of time. Let's just hit pause for a second. Folks, I'm talking to the grand old man of TV and radio, Charlie Kirk. Don't go away.
Knocking at the door, somebody ringing the bell. Someone knocking at the door, somebody ringing the bell. Do me a favor, open the door.
Folks, I'm talking to Charlie Kirk, and he's talking to me. Charlie, you were just going to go through where you see things.
Yeah. So I think the question is, did the Democrats commit the perfect crime? Did they plan this out so strategically and in such a coordinated fashion that it'll be impossible for us to uncover this and potentially reverse the current election results? I'm not convinced of that. Here's why. So the Saturday before the election, I was driving through Wisconsin. I was doing a couple political events. And I was getting a little bit anxious because I started to see on the ground the changes that I saw in 2016, the crowd sizes, the normal people showing up. When I would go into a gas station or a restaurant and I would ask just normal people who they were voting for, they were tilting towards President Trump, not because they loved him, but they realized the consequences of the election. These were married women, suburban voters. I started to see it anecdotally. I started to see it on the ground. Yet I didn't see it reflected in any of the public polling. And the public polling that I usually you know, just throw out as garbage. For example, Quinnipiac is an absolute garbage poll. They should be decommissioned.
Right.
They should all resign and retire. Any news network that uses them should be a disgrace. Nate Silver, he's a con man. He should resign. The Cook Political Report. I saw them on television the other day. They weren't just wrong, Eric. I mean, it was the opposite of the truth. They said that Nancy Pelosi was going to get 244 seats in the House. She'll be lucky if she gets 225. She'll probably end up at 221. To be off by 20 seats is incredible. So here's the point, is that as I was seeing things on the ground, I didn't see it yet break in public polling, and none of the people I were talking to in some of the state races or some of the Senate races were yet seeing it in internal polling. Until, Eric, on Saturday evening, the Des Moines Register poll came out. Do you remember this? Where the Des Moines Register poll showed Donald Trump up 7 points, the same number as in 2016. And I said, this is it. The tide is breaking. The Biden campaign is not going to have time to be able to recover from this. And it set the entire political world on fire. And you might remember that Sunday and Monday, the polling, all that got released, kind of didn't make any news coverage. It just got stopped covering. They're like, well, we're so close to an election. Who knows what's going to happen? And all the public polling started all of a sudden reflect President Trump, because he really got on message. He was doing so many rallies. People realized the significance of the election, and the late breakers were going for Donald Trump. And it's my theory that the Democrat Chicago mobsters that run a big part of the apparatus of politics on the left, they were scrambling and they were worrying and wondering what can they possibly do. And it is my working theory, Eric, that there was a stand down order doing the best possible Hillary Clinton Benghazi impersonation they could do, where they said, stop counting the votes in Atlanta, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Philadelphia. We have still not received answer why they stopped counting the votes in just those four cities. And what's even more creepy is many of the news networks seemed to know it was going to happen. They were incredibly slow to call Florida, so slow to call Ohio. By midnight, they were still saying, well, we can't call some of these states yet. They called Arizona and Virginia almost instantaneously.
Including Chris Steigerwalt on Fox News. He seemed to be all over that. He was asked about that the other day on Fox Business, and he said he was proud that he was ahead, that he got the scoop. And he sneered rather openly at the idea of people saying, well, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get the actual counts because of the recounts and stuff. So we've got to kind of go back to this Dominion thing and talk about that. We will continue the conversation, folks, with Charlie Kirk. Charlie, I understand you have your own radio program on the Salem Network.
That's right.
And I'm on that program right now. Is that true?
That is correct, Eric. So I think we're living in a bizarro world.
We're multitasking. It's a bizarro world from Superman. We're going to be right back, folks, in hour two. I'm going to talk to Charlie Kirk, or will he be talking to me? Stay tuned.